Okay, two things. One is a game idea. I mean, I'm looking at this Ancient Apocalypse, stupid name. Well, they're talking Apocalypse, this Graham Hancock, whatever his name is. I think he speculates a bit too much, but he's going around there and he's looking deeper at all these fantastic architectural marvels that we find spread out all over the world. So that is fascinating. And then I got an idea. You could make a game, you know, I'm just relaxing now and then playing Tomb Raider, and you know, there you have this girl who's going around and exploring these kind of old buildings. Although they just make it completely fictitious and, yeah, raiding tombs kind of style, Indiana Jones and all that. But I thought you could do this, a similar thing, similar adventure game. But you, and I don't know if that's what also Laura in Tomb Raider does, or actually this is real places, but this is what it should be. We you know, we just go to those places. There are many more of them than we know and realize. That's the impression I get from Mr. Hancock and others. So just, you know, follow the science and, you know, the archaeologists and see what they come up with, what they find. And people like him are digging around there. It's good work, great work. Although I sometimes think he's kind of drifting into imagination, because although I think he's on the right path, but you know, so that's part of the idea with the game. You know, just think of a Tomb Raider like world, but not with all these others you're supposed to shoot and kill with more and more advanced assault weapons. You know, it's just that kind of attraction that is there today to violence and weapons. It comes from America, all that. So we don't need that. And there are games that are as adventurous, if not more, that don't include combats with enemies that just pop up out of nowhere, basically, and just look very enemy-ish. But actually, we keep that other side, which is the one I like. I try to just get rid of those enemies so I can continue exploring the beautiful landscape, you know, and the buildings. And but there goes the, I would say, limitation of such games. And in my opinion, there is definitely a market for, and a need for, I would say. And I hope there are such already, but this is one of them. But then as you visit these, you're basically like that man. We create a character or a bit like that, but representing, you know, some, maybe the author of the script or something. We can put, you know, build that man or that woman or that couple on such real characters, people, and on what such a person, you know, a person or persons who really just have seen something, have glimpsed something, and as you go along and play, that little glimpse, maybe the game starts with you getting that glimpse, just a tiny one that is still not too much into the rabbit hole, but ignites your curiosity, because I think that in story writing, or I learned that in story writing, it's not just conflict that grabs the attention and the emotions and so on of the audience, and I think that this is one of the storytelling techniques that have, as I would say, I've seen its best days, so to speak. I mean, it's overused. The one with two, you know, where people fight each other with guns or fists. It's very American. But conflict can be there in other ways, you know, like different philosophies, different people in the game here who, you know, they are also common. They also want to use that land and maybe those buildings and those resources, or just destroy them. So there are plenty of opportunities for conflicts if you want that. But then you don't just, as soon as you see them, come and lift up your weapons on both sides and kill each other. But, you know, there can be discussions and there can be politics. I mean, you can take that game into any direction. And yeah, if you were into fighting with the guns and all that, you could take that direction too. I don't know. Now I'm sliding into the other game concepts, which, well, maybe we can put this one in that game. That's how it looks to me. It would be kind of nice. The karma game, where you make your choices, which attitude you want to have, which role you want to play, how you want to act accordingly in that game world, with what you find there and with those that you find there, and, you know, this just basically the way it is in this life, right? And then you get karma for your activities, and then one day you die and then you take birth again. Oh, that's the basis. So here we could put this, that, you know, you have, I'm maybe mixing together two games, but anyway, maybe part one, part two. That here you have, or again, it could be one of the storylines, so to speak, that you could, depending on how you play the game, that you would then find yourself in. So now you're inquisitive and you want to understand what, you know, how to get this world into a happy place and harmonious, and make it work for all of us so we can live happily together. So when you are on that branch in the game, you have chosen that path, and there also, of course, built up better karma, which means that you become more sattvic in your next life, and so on. And you are in a more intelligent world together with more peaceful, intelligent people who talk philosophy or knowledge. And maybe not, you know, there are those who can go far up there on theoretical levels. You can walk into that room if you want. But then you have other rooms, locus or whatever, where those are who basically standing with their feet on the ground and looking at, you know, how are we going to get this world to function, instead of just fighting with each other and destroying nature. You know, this is just something we modern people do. Maybe that's what they did in the past when there were these great disasters and apocalypses. So we better, wake up a bit and realize what's going on here, and that we are creating our own future. We're creating the world around us with our activities, which depend on our character, our ways of thinking, and so on, of being. So we put that theme into that game. But then, I don't know, this is just one fantastic version of it, or the, because it could be an online game that is still where you just write this whole stuff into the code. I can even almost see the pseudo code a little bit at least. No big deal actually to do the logic for such a game. Pretty advanced, but I would say nothing out of the ability of a fairly good game programmer. Anyway, programmer speaking now, but so there you are. And of course, you can't just make everything possible in that game. So it should be a bit like Tomb Raider, with that kind of adventure game, with a certain set of environments, levels, locas, we can call them here. And of course they can expand, but we start with a certain amount. And I think it's nice to start with this kind of world that I'm talking about now, the Tomb Raider, but for real, so to speak, and these beautiful buildings, you know, just travel around and scan them and model them, you know, very nice in that nice adventure game style, but with a nice artistic style also. It should be very beautiful, so people are just, oh, I love that game, you know, to be in that world. And my idea with this is that it should be really showing, when you start to dig into those old buildings, I mean, this man, it seems like they're archaeologists, for instance, about the North America, the original people there, they have now dated back to more than 20,000 years ago. They're just pushing, constantly pushing back the history. And they find these amazing buildings and constructions. So we want to build a cosmology into this, or I want to, but it's just coming to me here, so I'm just talking it into this, which corresponds to the, simply spoken, corresponds to the cosmology of the Puranas, for instance, and the Chinese cosmology, these ancient cosmologies, which my book is about. And I even collected different images, traditional images from the different cultures, and this is how their cosmos looks like. So we build on the game on that. That was my idea all the time. And but we build it into this over big or big environment and action field in this game, because that's how they built those old buildings. I mean, that's my conviction. They were temples. They were aligned with the cardinal directions and this whole astronomy in them, and they were just my, you know, so I can see that impression that Hancock gets, I think. At least that's how I understand it now. They were kind of, boom, you know, harmonizing the human society, the civilization that human, the order that humans are creating and living in a society by the very architecture, placing it in the, you know, in harmony with, aligned with the bigger cosmos. And therefore these buildings are often several floors, because you're supposed to learn that this is one floor we're living in, an earthly plane, but then there are other planes. This is the universal cosmology, basically, in these old cultures, even up here in Scandinavia. So build that into the game. And for all that matters, could be a text game to start with, if you can ever get that game engine going. Yeah. And then as you explore those buildings, then we can cooperate with archaeologists, and at least, you know, find what they say, and people like Hancock and others, or the local original people, and just try to build up. They will speak, and he will speak, and others will speak. Build up, not here is the answer, but make it into an exploration that we do by playing the game, but which is also a real exploration that people are actually doing. Why are they doing it? Because they want to find the solution for how we humans can live in harmony and peace and happiness and health and all that on this planet. Because that's what we all want. So it's very simple. And then, you know, someone there have started seeing that these old ancient cultures have something to teach us. They built these huge, wonderful buildings on purpose, maybe, so they should last for thousands of years. And they built into those buildings the knowledge. But maybe not as museums, but the knowledge is there in the fact that they built their buildings as little cosmoses, having this macro-microcosmic idea that the small and the big are connected. It's all one, actually, which is then this existence, which is both including us living souls and the forms that we see. Krishna says in Bhagavad-gita, parayam tasthanyam prakriti vidimeparadhifi. There are two energies, the upper conscious, which is us, and there is the aparam, prasannas para prakriti. So we can build all that into the game. Or whatever this is going to be. It could be a, you know, YouTube or whatever platform, video series online. And a game. So yeah, maybe here we got what is supposed to be made here. So what I, just to sum it up, what I described here as a kind of synopsis for this karma game. And I mean, if one really makes it into a big game, I mean, one could start with just this adventure, for instance. And then someone wants to go the other way, you know, I'm just interested. I don't know. Let's make it simple to start with. Or maybe we're talking different games, I don't know. I'm tired today, Saturday, resting day. But if it is possible, one can start like this, working out this world that we're talking about now, with all these beautiful buildings and so on, so we have a kind of a Terminator game. And then in that world, yeah, that's a good idea. In that world, people can, because the karma game, okay, means that we all make choices, free will choices. But those choices then control our actions, right? And our actions will give results or reactions, and that's what karma is, right? So then there's a database just storing all of that carefully, and this builds up one's character. Maybe even one's look. It could be really cool if think like this. Every choice, every activity one does in the game is a store in the karma account, whatever you call it. And just as everything you do in your life today, when you have phones and screens and, you know, your two ways connected, can be and is being, just so you are aware of that, registered by some super, definitely I would say, probably AI, well AI equipped computer system somewhere. It basically just knows everything about us. 1984 times, I don't know, in cubic, as someone said, Swedish, it could be kvadrat. So there we have the situation. You are in a society, we can add that dimension to it also, that there are those people behind here who control you. And then if you know, there are roles there. And that's one role. And then you have the other role, which is the one we're talking about now, the inquisitive, the person who's really wanting to go the upward spiral and therefore wants to know how to make it all life work out, both individually and on this planet. So that's the one I'm talking about now. But then, you know, in that same environment, if people choose to do other things, they rather want to use all the gamers for their own advantages. And then they think and see it, maybe. I mean, I'm just picking from this reality, what we call it here. You know, they see the universe that way. And I mean, I have friends I realized in school who saw you know, their universe, so to speak, in other words, their worldview, what the world is and what am I supposed to do here, was completely different than mine. They thought it's, you know, it's just about making it. Make it or break it, or if you had to break someone just to make it your own, then you, that's what you got to do. And become popular, and if not, at least respected and or feared, if that's all you can be, in power, and so on and so forth, and I'm rich, of course. So it would be cool to make the game in such a way that it, you, when you enter into it, you will see a different world depending on who you are. What kind of, you know, what can I do here? What am I supposed to do here? And then if you're one, a knowledge person who wants to go that upper spiral we talk about, then that's what you will see. And wow, cool, you can do this. And you have these fantastic places here. And ooh, there's some wisdom coming. But the others, they could see just a Tomb Raider game where you're supposed to win, plunder. And there are others walking around there just exploring. So you can, I mean, I'm just playing with it now. Then you will become like the bad guys in Tomb Raider. So, and you don't even choose that. Do I want to be a good guy, bad guy? But you, and I mean, we have enough sophisticated AI and all that today that if you have a database stored about, you know, that's basically storing a psychological profile. I mean, that's how they do these NSA and all of them, and that's, I'm sure about that, because it's not difficult in these days of AI. So you have a sophisticated psychological profile, personal profile stored there somewhere for each gamer. And of course, it's just gamer information. It's not a real person, right? But still, security is good to have there, so people don't steal each other's identity. But you play as a fictitious person here. It's not Facebook. And so it doesn't really matter. We can have it all open, actually. It's nicer. And you could even, I mean, the computer guy is talking, you could even make it into some kind of distributed system where peer-to-peer sharing is going on, you know, and you can't take it down. It becomes like a virus, this game. Anyway, you can take it any direction. The open source version. Which is actually something I've been thinking about. You want to make a second life, but make it open source, and so that I can make my own world, and then, you know, we kind of confederate, what do you call it? Federation, sharing, connecting worlds like that. It's also possible. So think of it a little bit like Second Life. With that option. Yeah, so then when someone, okay, I start this game, what's going to happen here? Oh, I can plunder graves. That's like Tomb Raider. Wow, cool. I'll do that. And the other one looks at exactly the same starting scene, but thinks, wow, cool, there's some wisdom here. These places are for real, and I can learn about all these fantastic old Mayan or Indian or Chinese, whatever, buildings that contain wisdom. So, depending on your mix, you get quite much with just those two points of view, because one is interested in money and selfish, and the other one is interested in higher knowledge. So that's again, then we have a conflict between those two, so we don't need more than that. But to put it like that would be a good storytelling technique that we build into the game. So looks good. And then that's basically it. So, and when that, as that psychological, this is the cool thing, as that psychological profile is gradually developing, your avatar in the game will be AI produced from that psychological profile. In other words, if you just behave like a gangster, if you behave like a parasite, if you behave like that, then you will just, if you look yourself in the mirror, see such a person there who looks heavy and gross and selfish and arrogant and, you know, all that, which you actually then, the character that you play as, is. So it's really, it could really be just based on simulating this world that we are in, because that's really what's going on. I mean, according to the Bhagavad Gita and all that, you know, we get a body in this life, and as we will get in our next life, after this life, a physical body that is, you know, stamped into that form which our mental body has, and our mental body has that form who we are and behave and as and how we think and act and all that, right? So we build the whole that cosmology into this, even in that way, and it would be pretty cool. Not that you know, as often is the case, you pick your avatar there, and when you start the game, I'm going to look like this, I'm going to look like that. You can pick something simple, man or woman, and, you know, this or that, color of your skin, and whatever. Just very basic, and some clothes, maybe. And yeah, there can be a whole thing there, you know, what you can buy new clothes, and it could be a freemium game or something. But then, from there on, from those very simple, basic, which could be more like archetypal in the sense of, standard characters, not so many then needed to start with. Or they're just generated with some algorithms, some function standard program that just is made to make characters. So I'm drifting into the programming issue. So yeah, and then you will see when you look at yourself, there are mirrors here and there, reflections in water, this and that. And of course, you can look at yourself maybe in the somewhere in the, what do you call it, HUD or whatever it is of the game, as you cannot normally do, looking at your own character. So, yeah, and then if we would start like this, we can make those two sides, those two types of people, act within that world. And then, of course, that old world, you know, we should really push it back and show. And what he is trying to show Hancock, and what I want to show with this, what is kind of the inspiration for me for this game, is that you would, if you could go back 10,000 years or whatever on this planet, 5,000 years, or even 20,000 years, and they even from 40,000 years ago they found in somewhere in Indonesia or in Germany quite beautiful paintings. So you know, showing a civilization, I mean, we can put the whole, I don't know about time machine, but we could do anything. We could have, you know, the second level here, another, you know, big loca of the subtle platform where all these actually exist, these beautiful buildings and this and that, because they were established also on the subtle level. That's actually what happens when you build something. It's there not only in the physical world but also in, you know, in the higher worlds, but there when you're in that world and you enter the same building, it's just beautiful. Just the way the maker designed it, of course, because that design was and is still originally and essentially a mental design, which is not bound by the temporality of this gross physical matter. So when we leave this body, when we die, I'm talking about inside the game, and but as it is in this world, because the game should really tell us something and teach us about life, our real life, real world. So then you die, we die, and as we call it, we leave this physical body. Whoops, phew, this was nice. This place is much nicer than being in that gray earthly shadow realm. You know, that's how people describe it when they had these out-of-body near-death experiences. And those who can connect to us somehow or other and tell us about how it is on the other side, there are plenty of such reports. So we build that into the game, and then when you are, when you die, so to speak, then you go to heaven or hell, basically. You go to the, and we can build that whole thing into it, the Bhuva Loka, the Preta Loka, and then the Pitra Loka, where your ancestors live, and Preta Yoga, where you're simply in the same environment as this earthly realm where a physical body is or was. But again, that subtle image, subtle form, which is made of prana and energy. This actually fits pretty well together. So, because when you build something, it's a first mental imagined image, and that's what it is here too. And then when you build it, when you construct it in the physical, then you take all this energy, prana, and push it into this physical realm and force this dull, heavy matter into that form. That's really what building construction work means. So that's what these people did back then, thousands of years ago, and therefore, and here those buildings still stand, and we will leave that Borloka realm, the Midgard realm, the earthly realm, and what we call then death, passing over to the other side, as I said, then we are on that Pretaloka. And Pretaloka, we're still here. We're nowhere else. But we see the higher form, the pranic, the chi, whatever form of these buildings and that world. And then we see people who are walking around there in their physical bodies. But here we are in our, without our physical bodies. We have our pranic bodies too. It's the same forms, but nicer. We are kind of free now from that, or just immediately at least stepping out of that fleshy matter form. Which again was just a made of an energy, of a grosser, lower vibration, so to speak. As some call it, more bound up into heavier forms, and like clay, and shaped on that first mental imagined form, and then, the mental form and the pranic form, which is when someone takes birth, for instance, what I've said, mental pranic form, that's the what we call the subtle body that we are still in when we leave this physical body. And then when we take birth, we enter into that embryo and so on. And the form we actually have, the higher, more real form, it starts to control and shape that little growing body. And that's why it gets a beautiful form. Or ugly, depending on how our subtle body, how our pranic body looks like. And, we can go on with this. And we can build it all into the game. I read about this, Ian Stevenson and those who study previous lives, people who can remember, that he found it was quite common, as far as I understood, that let's say you were a gangster, and this was one person remembered being that, a gangster in a previous life, and was shot by the police or something like that. In the head, and that person had a birthmark just on that, two birthmarks on one of each side of the head, as when if a bullet went through. And there are several examples of that. So, your activities in this physical body, it shapes your subtle body, even to the extent that you can carry such scars. I call some scarai, vrittis in Sanskrit. They stay there in that subtle body and then follow over, if they are strong enough, to the next life. And, that's how we are shaped through one lifetime, and then how we carry that personality, that character, those talents and weaknesses over to the next life, and we continue there. So we build this all into the game, and it can be a really nice game, I think.